We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's the franchise, Tim Allen, and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid.
It is a final from St. Louis, and the results, again, are not good. The Brewers go down in defeat to the St. Louis Cardinals, 9-4. Welcome, everybody. Bayview Shade and Blind Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Tim and Tausch take over here on a Tuesday, and not a good sixth and seventh inning for the Brewers pitching staff. What can someone explain to me what happened in the sixth and seventh inning? Because I'm not quite sure. I think it's all a blur.
Yeah, I'd like somebody to explain to me what happened out in the middle of left field as well at some point. It was one of those nights, Tim, where we've had too many of. The mama said there'd be them days. Those are the feeling all too regularly here in the last couple of weeks.
64 and 62 after the loss, and more importantly, now four back in the National League Central, and it does set up a huge game tomorrow. You want to did against the Cubs, the last series that they played against Chicago, guys you're chasing, guys you're trying to beat in the division, and now here the St. Louis Cardinals, you're a game away from getting swept in that series. A healthy situation for this team, just not healthy. I got a text or two during the game when things were falling apart in that sixth or seventh inning. Buddies, I think I'm going to change that term from buddies to something else.
It's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I could think of a lot of terms, but they're all this team sucks. I told you, don't get your hopes up. They're going to get swept.
And that one is so ridiculous.
I know, the big one is choke. That's what they're on now. That's a buddy of mine is now on choke. Yeah, see what happens when they played a big series against the Chicago Cubs, and then now against the St. Louis Cardinals. See, they choke. I don't know if I put it that way.
I don't know if I can use that word in this sense, because that to me implies, Tim, and I don't know where you fall in, that implies like you had leverage. That implies that you were expected to be the better team in this scenario. I don't know how many people, frankly, expected the Brewers to be at this point with what they've gone through, and I know that's no excuse, and nobody in the clubhouse or the organization is going to use that, but for what it is right now, it is what it is, and you haven't been the way of a superior team here in the division for the last 3-4 weeks. You've been on the downside of it, and you've been just trying to keep yourself afloat with the amount of injuries and regression that you had. We're going to get into it a little bit later, but this Corbin Burns thing is ridiculous when you think about where he started, and now you're taking him completely off of organized baseball. It's been an incredible fall from grace for this team in the last month, in the last year, though, as well, when you look back to where they are, and you're still waking up each morning within five games. But if you lose tomorrow, I think you're right. That's as much of a deal breaker as you can have. Losing six games head-to-head against the two teams you're chasing inside of a week.
Yeah, and that is just that's going to be tough to overcome. Can they still overcome it? We'll talk about where your level of concern is with the team thus far. With 36 to play now, four back, just two games over 500. Level of concern, we threw it out there on Twitter, too, and you can check that out and react to that. We'll take your reaction at 414-799-1250 as well. The level of concern, because there is concern, and there are concerns here. Even the biggest of Brewer fans sitting in this chair right here knows that there is some concern, and it's at the tipping point, a little bit of a teetering point. Can they get through this thing? Well, They've got 36 games to figure it out. In this one tonight, Gio Gonzalez did his job. That's what he did. He goes five innings, allows a run. And then the Brewers' offense gets on the board in the sixth inning. And they get two out RBIs, Eric Thames and Orlando Arcia. So you take the lead 2-1 right there. Here's what did cross my mind, guys. Something wild and weird may have to happen for this team to kind of get jump-started. This is one of those deals where something funky may have to happen. And you thought it did on Saturday, but lo and behold, they've lost three straight since, quote, this is the turning point in the season. Remember, we talked about that on Saturday. And no, it's not. It's turning it, well, it might be. In reality, it turns it the other way. But they may have to have something weird. So in the sixth inning, you're up 2-1. This is just me. And again, this is why I do this, and I'm not in the dugout with a manager tag on my business card. And I would have went with Josh Hader right there and freaked everybody out, including my team. I would have called out to Carce and said, get Josh up. I want him to pitch the bottom of the sixth and the seventh. I'll piecemeal and play chess match with Schilt in the eighth and ninth. I can go situational. As long as I can get to the eighth inning, I can go situational with Alex Claudio as well as Drew Pomerantz. I've got a couple of lefties out there. I've got Albers and Guerra from the right side. I've got Jeremy Jeffress if I need a ground ball. That's what I'd have done, and that's the weird, funky thing that I would have done. I'm not sure you're going to see it, but that's where I'm at. What would you have thought had Josh Hader come in the bottom of the sixth inning with the Brewers up 2-1?
I would have been rather surprised, but in the same vein, you've been seeing them want to get him in that role a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. Also, though, Tim, in that sense, you get that shutdown inning after you finally come back and score a couple of runs with two outs, with a runner in scoring position. You take advantage of the leadoff double that it felt like every time you see a leadoff double here in the last couple of weeks, it's been like running your head right into a wall and then stopping. Your head doesn't even bounce off the wall. It just like sticks right there into the middle of the contact. But at this point, you're just hoping with those three outs, it shuts down and bridges you into another opportunity to tack on. And lo and behold, that was taken away from them in the bottom half.
No, it didn't occur. Junior Guerra into some trouble. Alex Claudio did record an out in that inning. So you started playing chess match right there. I do want to say that's my correction of the game with Milwaukee County House of Correction. That's what I'd have done. Again, if the offense is just, if you're going to roll with this offense, and truly there's not much you can do, right? You just run them out there and hopefully they're going to get hot. And we discussed that to a large degree the last couple of weeks, including last night.
Sure.
So if you're not going to do anything funky there, because there's not much to do, that's left there. So how about the bullpen? How about you flip the switch and go back to, if you want to go back to 2018, then let's truly go back to 2018. You're not getting to the ninth with leads to even utilize Josh Hader on a regular basis. So use him where you can and then figure it out late in the game. So we get to the bottom of the sixth and there's all sorts of trouble. You have a chance. You literally have a chance with the score tied. Junior Guerra, bases loaded walk. By the way, one of three bases loaded walks for Brewers pitchers tonight. Way to make them earn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way to keep your offense in the game. As you know this too, there's no better way to keep everybody engaged and excited when you're walking the entire place.
Really? I think even the Cardinals fans were like, "What are you doing? We want a two-run base hit here. We don't want a bases loaded walk. That's no fun."
Yeah, we're sick of these things.
So they don't get the shutdown inning. It's 2-2. Junior Guerra then comes back. It's a huge strikeout to Matt Carpenter. So you get to two outs in a 2-2 game, bottom of the sixth inning, and Junior Guerra needs one out to at least minimize the damage. Certainly you don't get the shutdown inning, but you do minimize the damage there. You go 2-2 into the seventh inning. And, Billy, for all intents and purposes, we don't know. We may have seen Josh Hader in the bottom of the seventh inning if Junior Guerra gets this out. Dexter Fowler at the plate, and here's how it sounded.
There go the runners. Garrett deals and a swing and a little lazy pop up. Long run. And that is going to fall. And three runs are going to score. And Fowler goes to second base. Boy, what a disaster that was.
I'm not quite sure what Brawny was doing out there in left. I think he thought that somebody from the infield was going to get it. He kind of peeled off and ran by it.
I mean, to give up three runs on a hit like that.
Well, you think about the inning. Just a disaster for the Brewers.
It was a disaster for the Brewers, and it was a disaster for Ryan Braun. And let's break that play down, because that's our turning point with Great Lakes Dragway. There's no doubt that's our turning point, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And I've never played big league baseball and never played outfield in the bigs. All I know is that when you're coming in on a ball instead of tracking outward the way that HP and RCR in the shift right there, Tim, that's got to be Ryan Braun's ball. That's got to be a play that Ryan Braun, 9 times out of 10, is going to go with the sliding grab, or it felt like he still could have ran under it. He was within three or four feet when he decided to peel off there at the final second. That's got to be number 8's ball out there and left.
It's taking charge, and you hear that term a lot in the outfield. You take charge of the baseball. When your face is to the baseball,
sure,
and your back is not to the infield, that's your baseball. You go get it. You go get it. We saw a situation over the weekend with Keston Hira and Christian Yelich do the same thing. It's like, wow, someone's got to take charge here. Brawny, that's your ball. That's your ball. That's no time to play safe right there. It's 2-2 against the team you're chasing. If you don't win this game, you fall in jeopardy of, after tomorrow night, 5 games back.
Yeah.
You have to think that way. Brawny, you got to charge, take charge, call it, go get it. I think, now, if you look at that play, you heard the highlight there on Fox Sports Wisconsin. It even confused Brian Anderson. Did you hear the call? He was confused by that. He's like, I know what he wanted to say. We all know what he wanted to say.
Right. He wanted to say exactly what everybody was saying in their living room. How on God's green earth did 3 runs score and that be a double? Adam McAlvey tweeted it out. That scored a double somehow. There's no excuse for that in any form of baseball whatsoever, especially in the professional ranks.
Yeah, I blame Brawny. All 100% of that, it's Braun. Now, I know what Braun was thinking. He was thinking that there's Arcia right there. Arcia's the man with the glove. He's the guy. He's the flashy guy. He's going to go get that. No, Brawny, you're facing the baseball. He's got to go over the shoulder at an angle. Tough, really tough play. You had that play. If you notice before that play, Arcia was playing traffic cop and actually moved Braun. I don't know if you noticed that, Billy. But,
no, I missed that.
He moved Braun over and up a little bit. And I don't know if that made a big difference, but Brawny, you got to catch that ball. The first thing I thought of was, did he see it? Was he seeing it okay? Because I've questioned his eyesight for a while.
Right,
I have. And for as good as I know it sounds weird, for as good of a hitter that he is, this is just my opinion, and he'll probably kill me if he ever heard me say this. I don't think he sees the ball well from a distance. I think up close he does in his career. It's just something I've noticed over the years. Watch him play left field during a day game at Miller Park. Keep a close eye on that dude, unless you're sitting in the line of fire down in foul ball territory. But really take a good watch to Ryan Braun play the outfield. I don't know. I've always said he plays safe defensively for his entire career. He's been a good, I think it's fair to say he's a good defensive left fielder, right?
Sure, he's definitely above average, but
He plays safe.
Right, and that's the best way to put it. In his career, he's never going to go out of his element to try to make a play that might be spectacular if he's going to be able to get in front of the baseball and knock it down. But those are plays, Tim, that we have seen him make 9 times out of 10. And what I thought was the biggest part of that, the sixth inning, and you saw it in the clubhouse and you saw it in the dugout. Fox Sports Wisconsin was all over it. You saw counts as near losing his natural mind as you have in that dugout. He turns around after Guerra walks in the first run to tie the game, and he grabs the phone and calls Carce out in the bullpen like, all right, well, hold on to him now because he's got to do something. We can't necessarily go matchups at this point because who knows where this game's headed with nobody or one out, Guerra on the mound, and you're still looking to try to get out of this thing. Now it's a tie ball game. You don't know how many innings you're going to have to go with Guerra, how long this thing is going to last, how many arms you're going to use. And throughout the next two innings, the frustration level was evident on Counts' face, and they continued to pump it on the flagship. I give them credit, but you could tell he was very frustrated in that dugout, especially after that one.
Jeremy Jeffress didn't help out the situation. He was a mess. And again, his campaign continues to be a struggle. Our spark of the game on a good note is Gio Gonzalez going that five innings of one-run ball when you had to have it. You got it from him. Spark of the game with Current Electric. Your electrician superheroes at callcurrent.com. 414-799-1250. Your reaction on the game and the situation for the crew here, 36 to play. Where's your level of concern? Because you have to have some. Let's go to John. John, you're first up on the Fan. What's happening?
How you doing tonight, gentlemen?
I've been better.
Oh, I hear you. Well, Tim, don't ask me my beer count because I haven't been drinking tonight, but it would take about seven beers to get rid of the feeling I have right now. That was Braun's mistake. Like you said, when the infielders have their back to the infield and they're running out toward the outfield, Braun stopped. He had that ball. And that's the difference between the Cardinals and the Brewers. Like, I respect the Cardinals, and I was watching that play, and I'm like, how can I get mad? Because the Cardinals just execute. All of a sudden, you're up 2-1, you come back, and just like in a blink of an eye, you're down 5-2. And how can you get mad at the Cardinals? Because they execute, and like Baby Tausen, and who's Gallegos last night? All they do is plug players in it, and they keep winning. So to me, I really admire the Cardinals as much as I dislike them because they do what the Brewers don't. They don't do the little small balls or the execution, and that's the difference between a team like the Cardinals and the Brewers. They don't make a three-run debacle like that in the outfield.
Yep. No, I respect the Cardinals. I hate the Cubs
more. As much as you dislike them, you have to respect them.
You do have to respect them. John, thanks for the call.
John, for the better part, too, if you're thinking seven beers, maybe like three if you go with the triple Beauforting ale, Tim. I just wanted to let him know that with 8% alcohol by volume, he could cut down that intake a little bit easier.
Right, and don't drive while you do it. But if you drink those three very quickly, it'll feel better.
Yeah, the pain like will subside for you.
It will. There's just so many nuances in the game of baseball here. Runner at first for the Brewers in the top of the sixth inning, and that was Brawny. And I believe it was Braun. You have the outfield playing, gosh, almost on the warning track. Why is that? And you would look at the defense. This is just an example of a nuance in baseball. You would look at the defense and say, why are they playing so damn deep? It's because the runner at first, you don't want to score on an extra base hit. It's okay. There's two outs. Give up the base hit in front of you. Keep them from scoring right there. Now you can play up a little bit with two outs and a runner in scoring position. But when the runner isn't in scoring position, your outfield has the luxury of playing back a little bit. You got some wiggle room. It's just little things like that. It actually cost the Cardinals a little bit in terms of HP when he had his first base hit to extend that inning to get it to Thames. And so that was interesting that was the situation, but that was the safe way to go. And the safe way to go in this one was to have Ryan Braun go after a baseball. Brawny, go after the baseball. You're coming in on the ball. That's your ball. It's not something that a veteran of your status should be worried about that, well, I'm going to play this safe and let Orlando Arcia make that play. That's your ball all the way. I think it was probably basket catch material, Billy. I think if you look at the play, look at the timing, look at the jump, and look at the infielders going out, that's just a basket catch. I don't even think he's got to leave his feet on that play.
It appeared like it was going to be an easier catch than I had thought originally, and it felt like it was there for the taking. It felt like something that I've seen Braun make his entire career, and a play that right there, Tim, that's a total game changer who you have coming up in the lineup. if you remember when you're doing that damage with two outs there in the sixth, in the top half of the sixth inning, you were doing it with the bottom half of the lineup. You had the heart of your order coming up to start up that top of the seventh inning, pounce, get the lead right back, and it could be a totally different ballgame.
414-799-1250. Where is your level of concern here? Because I know I have some. We'll discuss more. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Tim and Taos here on a Tuesday. Brewers lose game two of this three-game set and are at risk of getting swept in St. Louis, 64-62, now four games back in the Central.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
9-4, the final tonight. The Brewers fall a crucial game two against the St. Louis Cardinals. They're going to have to salvage here, and you feel a lot better. Trust me, with a win, you'll feel better tomorrow. Well, I will feel a lot better tomorrow if they win that ball game.
I'm going to need it. Now, this is my question. Coming into today's game, when you opened up the sheet this morning, Tim, and looked at possible investments for the night, the Brewers came in at a minus 110 favorite tonight's game.
Yeah.
I understand Michael Wacha's earned run average on the year hasn't been all that great, but if you look at his career splits against the Brewers, and oh, by the way, the team had lost five of their last seven games and got shut out the night before, that did not seem to be a wager that Vegas wanted or believed many people would make. Or maybe they thought, wow, huh. Oh, they must know something for sure. Yeah, yeah. Oh, the Brewers definitely going to win tonight. They got to win tonight. None doing today.
Your conventional wisdom, and I hate to say this, but you know you bet with trends. Your conventional wisdom, you bet the Cardinals. They look like they're the team to beat, not Chicago. It looks like it's the Cardinals in the Central. Yeah. Just a thought. 799-1250, where's your level of concern? Our drive of the game, we've been discussing it. We want to give you an update on our Twitter poll as well, and you can get in touch over Twitter. Where is your level of concern? 36 to play, now four back, but our drive of the game with Wrench and Go. Hate to do it. I do, and it happens occasionally a few times a year with the drive of the game. We got to give it to the other guys. Although this was a gift drive of the game with Wrench and Go off the bat of Dexter Fowler.
There go the runners. Garrett deals in a swing and a little lazy pop up. Long run. And that is going to fall. And three runs are going to score. And Fowler goes to second base. Boy, what a disaster that was.
I'm not quite sure what Brawny was doing out there in left. I think he thought that somebody from the infield was going to get it. He kind of peeled off and ran by it.
I mean, to give up three runs on a hit like that.
Well, you think about the inning. Just a disaster for the
Brewers. I don't know. Lazy might be a harsh word in that situation. I don't know if it was lazy. Misread, for sure.
For sure. That's, I think, the best way to put it right now, is knowing that he didn't see it well enough off the bat to be ingrained confident in saying, I got that for sure. I can get underneath it. And I know that these dudes are going to know that it's my ball. It almost felt like, too, Brawny maybe thought that HP was closer to him than it was, or it could be what you said, Tim. Maybe he just didn't see it all that well as it was coming down.
I want the ball. I want the ball in every play. When I play, I wanted the ball. I want the ball. I want the ball in football. I want the ball in basketball. I want the ball in baseball. It didn't appear that Brawny wanted that baseball. It just I don't know. Well, let's get to you guys. Tommy, you're next on The Fan. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, how's it going?
It's been better.
Yeah, I feel that. So my concern with the team is not constrained at all to this game or this series or this season. I'm pretty worried about the fact, and it's not being talked about in almost any area that I've seen, that, like, we only have Moustakas for this season and we only have Grandal for this season, at least guaranteed. And I don't really know what level of depth is there to back these guys up, and I don't know what's going to prevent them from kind of sinking into total mediocrity for the, you know, foreseeable.
I know what's out there, Tommy. Better baseball players. Because this offense is dysfunctional. It has been for months. It's been dysfunctional for 4.5 months. They knock out, how many hits did they have tonight? 12, 13 hits? And,
yeah,
and they lose
hits.
They get blown out of a baseball game with 13 hits.
Yeah, but I'm talking infrastructure. I mean, there might be better players out there, but I mean, the free agency market next year doesn't look great, and our farm system isn't going to net a whole lot in trades. I mean, what did we get for like our highest prospect in San Francisco?
You know? Yeah, well, I mean, in all seriousness, I do expect them to sign one of those guys.
No, I do too, and I think it's going to be Moose. But I'm just worried. It's just something to worry about, and it's something to keep an eye on, because I think that they're a little cute. I think they play a little cute.
Okay, gotcha. No, I don't disagree with that, depending on your opinion of cute. And I think I know what it is, or your definition of cute. And I think I know where you're going there. Yeah, I agree. There's something dysfunctional with the chemistry on this offense. It's clear to see, guys. It is. And I'm sorry I have to say it that way, but that's just the reality of it. Sometimes it's a cycle, and the cycle is just, it's broken here, Billy.
And I don't know, Tim, if it's anything along the lines of, well, they don't have the consistent lineup. You know, these Major League Baseball players want a consistent lineup. They need to know where they are. I don't think it's that necessarily, but you're right in the sense of how it configures every single night. There is something broken in the structure of how they are doing this. And to the point that Tommy, I think, is trying to make, I do agree. I think they end up signing Moustakas, and I've been pretty adamant that I think they end up signing Christian Yelich. And I think the infrastructure, the money on this in this organization is in a much better position than some might think. They do have to find a solution, though, at catcher. And I don't know exactly what it is, Tim, but it does not appear to me that it's Yasmani Grandal long term at all.
And it really doesn't appear to be Jacob Nottingham in the long term.
Well, that's for sure. Yeah.
So then you dip down into Peyton Henry.
No.
And he's still a few years away.
Mario Feliciano. Now, he's like 3 years away. But I'll tell you, that dude is going to be able to play. But in the same vein, there aren't many options on that market that are going to strike your interest a lot more than a Wilson Ramos did this year, and that wasn't where they went. Or a Wellington Castillo, or a Jonathan Lucroy at the end of the year. And those dudes are definitely replaceable guys unless you go out and try to bring back Grandal to a pitching staff that was rather underperforming under his watch. So in that sense, it's going to be interesting to see how they go in that vein. Also, if Manny Pena gets another chance at kind of earning that everyday role as he did the last couple of years.
Interesting. Wilson Ramos, the Brewers did have discussions with him in the winter meetings in Vegas. And so maybe someone was up a little too late and they couldn't seal the deal there, and then it wouldn't be Grandal.
Well,
and would that have made the offense any better?
And you know that, Tim. Sometimes when you're really rolling, I know the video roulette table at the Wynn is one of my favorites. And if you're really getting rolling there, there's no way that you're moving away to sign a Wellington Castillo or a Wilson Ramos. Now, if you're going to tell me that I can ink a deal to try to bring in a guy like Garrett Cole this year at the winter meetings, then maybe I'll step away if I'm on a heater. But other than that, I'm sorry, Wilson Ramos, we're going to find somebody else.
Yeah, Billy, you want to go? No? Okay, we'll see you around. 4 hours later, we find him at the Flamingo in the back playing video poker. 799-1250, your level of concern here with 36 to play as the Brewers fall 9-4. Tomorrow's game is it. And they need to salvage a game out of this series, guys. Absolutely. Do you want to take a call or you want to go to an update?
Let's grab Jeff right before Sam Schmitz's update.
Let's do it. Jeff, you're on the fan.
How's it going, guys?
It's been better.
Yeah, I know.
Is it?
My concern is the weak link in the bullpen.
Who's the weak link in the bullpen, Jeff?
Jeremy Jeffress.
Got it.
He needs
That's your concern?
Yeah, Gray needs to be cut or sent down, and we need to fill him with, I don't know, who can we bring up?
Well, they're going to bring up a whole bunch of. They're going to bring up a bunch of players on September 1st. Jeff, what are you doing tonight?
Oh man, I'm sorry.
Did you launch him?
Yeah, I launched him.
Yeah,
I'm
I was going to check his beer count.
I can't believe I didn't. Man, what am I doing?
Was it beer count or other influences?
No, that felt closer to a 20 after 4 situation. Did you just the pacing and the subtle nature and the hold on, I got to get my notes.
Had he busted out laughing right in the middle of that, then it would have sealed the deal. Yeah. Yeah. 799-1250. Sam Schmitz has a sports flash, and we're going to talk about a Brewers level of concern for you after a 9-4 loss.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper, brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 15 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the only station Brewers fans need before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
9-4 final, Brewers fall in game 2, and where's your concern level? We threw it out there on Twitter, and we've got panic level, we've got level, we've got applying for hashtag done club, and then we've got let's get them on a good run here. Still hopeful. See, keeping that alive, keeping the postseason alive. So where's your concern level? We'll get to Council here in just a little bit. You noticed a little emotion out of Council tonight. You noticed a little bit of emotion from Yasmani Grandal, and you noticed a lot of emotion from Gio Gonzalez. You can tell the screws are getting a little bit tighter here, Billy.
And the thing is, as well, you see the bats getting gripped a little bit tighter. You see it wearing on these dudes because there's a combination of what you have in that clubhouse and what you have in that coach on that coaching staff, and dudes that have been around the game for a long time and can feel it slipping a little bit. When you talk about Murph and you talk about Counts, they've been around a lot of these teams that are hanging in the balance here in the middle of August, and they understand how crucial these moments can be.
Yeah, it is something. We'll get to Council here in just a second. Let's squeeze in Patrick. The rest of you just sit right there. We'll get to as many as we can. Patrick, you're next on The Fan.
How you guys doing?
Hey, been
so obviously we're calling because, you know, we're fans, so the level of care is there. But level of concern is zero. I mean, how could we have concern when the front office told us all year, pretty much since at least July 28th, that we shouldn't be concerned because they made no moves to make us good enough to win the World Series? You know, if we got lucky and didn't do anything and won a division or a wild card, yeah, that's gravy. But there's no way they could tell us that pitching rotation had any chance against the Dodgers, Yankees, or, you know, the Astros if it even came to that. So, I mean, the level of concern has to be what they've given us, which is it can't be much because they didn't give us any chance to be concerned. You know,
that is going to be, Patrick, thanks for the call. It's a great point. Mm-hmm. And that is going to be a conversation piece that is going to go on and on and on. And when you look back at that trade deadline, there were options on the table. And it just the cost was too much or they didn't feel. Again, I go back to Doug Melvin. And I don't want to just hang my hat on everything Doug Melvin. But Doug, and it didn't come out until years later, Billy, and this is my point. Doug Melvin was the GM of the Texas Rangers. And there was a year in which they were right, probably similar to where the Brewers were in the race.
Sure.
At the trade deadline this year. And he decided internally that he just didn't think they were going to get it done. And he not only didn't add, he subtracted. He was a seller at that point to a degree. And it didn't come out until years later that he fully admitted that that was the case. Will that be the case this year with David Stearns?
Well, and the issue that I have with that, and Steve brings that up all the time on the afternoon show, on the big show. And Tim, I've always brought it up in this realm of I understand that. But if you also believe in that sense of that you're just not good enough to win the whole thing, what does sustainable success and growth in terms of building a winning culture, where does that factor in? And also, where does it factor into the long-term plan of where this organization is going and where you believe it can end? For David Stearns, it's going to be one of the most questioned parts of his tenure here at the helm of the Milwaukee Brewers is, if you didn't believe, though, David, that you were good enough to win, was it worth the possibility of the backlash you get in the clubhouse if you do then look long-term and subtract to this team and you make a move for a Yasmani Grandal or you bite the bullet and you trade a Mike Moustakas who was in the middle of an all-star year? You had opportunities on the table on both ends, and I think that part of the spectrum is going to be the most discussed aspect of it. Where do you go and where do you make those decisions next if you have a possibility like this and you have a year where you just don't feel it, that you can then have the intestinal fortitude to make the tough decision that a lot of teams, a lot of great teams, a lot of great organizations make?
And that's the balancing act that David Stearns had to do. And I understand the other side. If he were to sell, I truly believe this, if he were to sell off even a frontline player, if it was just Moustakas or just Grandal, if he were to sell off and restock a little bit in his farm system, I think they'd be close to 10 games out right now.
And I just
because it would have been a white flag wave.
And I just cannot think that that sits well with the dudes that you are trying to lock up long term. And you can call me dumb. You can laugh at the situation and say that the money's just not there. There's no way in any business model, any businessman would tell you that the right thing for this organization to do is not sign Christian Yelich for whatever he wants, whatever he can possibly get. It's the best business decision you can make in this organization, in this climate, is to lock that dude up. And I think it's going to get done on both sides. So when you make that decision and you have that asset, what are you going to do around it to supplement it? And you've already known and it's come out that a couple of your assets that you thought were going to build along with that might not be able to do that, might not be able to be there, a la Corbin Burns.
This hour on The Fan brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashion since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. I do want to get to Craig Council, but we'll quickly squeeze in Len in Waukesha. Len, you're on The Fan.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'm so frustrated with this whole organization. I've got a point on Craig Council. I got a point on David Stearns. But my first point is, I hate to say this, but Keston Hiura, as a hitter, if he don't get hurt, is going to be a Hall of Famer. Right now, I can tell
you
that.
Nice. Okay, but there's a positive.
Yeah, it is.
Well, now, wait a minute. But he can't field, he can't throw, and he can't catch. So
it is brutal. Len, I will agree with you there. Sometimes
yes,
watching
tough.
Keston play in the field, it is tough to watch. It's brutal to watch.
I mean, I think he palms the ball when he throws it. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. Okay, my point
he's
on Craig
a
Council.
Palm ball.
my point on Craig Council. Now, you mentioned why isn't there any chemistry on this team? The hottest hitter that we've had, I watched the series over the weekend. I think Moustakas, I know he hit at least three home runs, maybe four. Why are you sitting him out against a right-hander to let I like Hernan Perez, but he shouldn't play in front of him. They're going to play him for Arcia. I mean, Council's done this all year. That Sunday game, now we came up with a hell of a win on Saturday. But that Sunday game, you only had Chase Anderson and those other two knuckleheads they threw in their heat-up innings. That means you had to score runs. And I know Grandel caught for 14 innings. Let him play first, then. Let him play first.
Yeah.
You needed to hit. You know who your fifth batter was? Manny Pena, nice guy. He's a good defensive catcher. But he can't hit better than my grandson. And he's batting fifth. You wonder why he didn't score any runs in the first inning? You got two guys on base with two outs, and Manny Pena comes up.
He had bases, left the bases loaded his first time up and left two on his second time up.
Well, hey, there's a surprise. Because if the other team had to pick a guy to be up, Manny Pena's the guy I would have picked.
All right, your point on Stearns.
Okay.
Can't wait.
This whole thing went off the rails. It isn't Stearns. His foot in spring, he out of spring training. He should have done whatever it took to get Craig Kimbrel. I mean, maybe he's not having a great year, but he's a he should have done it for 1 year. I don't care what he had to throw at him. He should have done it. And, you know, last year, the strength of this team, the reason we always thought we were in a game is we knew that if it got to the fifth inning, the other team was done. Now, you got Junior Guerra throwing in high speed.
Caught himself.
What's the first thing Junior does when he comes into the game?
He walks him in.
The first guy.
That he does. He does walk somebody immediately. That is for sure.
Now, Council had what's he got to work with? So maybe he's got to run him. I can't stand watching this. But that is David Stern's fault. Maybe not now. Maybe not at the trade deadline. He couldn't go get anything because he hasn't got a lot there. But in spring training, either you go get Dallas Keuchel or you go get the other guy. And then
Kimber.
Council, he's got to quit thinking, I need 15 outs out of these guys. Damn it. You need 7 innings. That's what you got to be looking for.
Yep. Len, you need to call more often. You need to call more often. I like
big fan of you, Len. Take it easy, buddy. All right.
We like you. There's no beer count there because he was sharp as a tack.
There were also a couple of all-timers in there too. There's some golden ones in there.
Level of concern is reaching panic level, and we'll update our poll there on Twitter, and you can get in touch and give some reaction and take that poll. But we'll also get your reaction at 799-1250, area codes 414. Hit us up on Facebook as well. If you'd like, you can email live, that's LIVE, at 1057fmthefan.com. And now Craig Council, as his team is just slipping just a little bit here, things get into critical nature. Let's check in with the Brewers manager.
Yeah, I mean, Fowler just hit it between our guys. It's the third run. You know, both guys kind of peeled off right at the end. That probably allowed the third run. But I think Bader would have scored anyway. He was aggressive and. We didn't catch the ball, and they scored a bunch of runs. But it was, both three guys going for it. Nobody could get to it.
Is that a communication issue there? Somebody call for it?
No, I don't think it was communication. Everybody's just going for it hard, and I don't think anybody really thought they could get it. So it happened.
The inning started off poorly anyway. JJ got into some trouble.
Yeah, two strikes in the first hitter and then left the curveball kind of middle of the plate, basically, and then the hit batter. We had a chance to get out of it, though, and really, with a tie game. A strikeout to Carpenter was huge. So we still had a chance to get out of it. And Junior fought back in that count to Fowler and fouled off a couple pitches and made a good pitch, and we just hit it in the wrong spot. Or they just hit it in the wrong spot.
All of those innings, they sort of put the ball in play and good things happen.
Yesterday
too, really.
They put some balls in some good places. Molina put a ball against JJ in a good place. The Fowler ball is in a good place. Ground ball against Matty Albers with Ozuna's in a good place, so it's just they had some balls in the right places.
Craig, how concerning are the walks, or are they that big of a concern to have nine tonight like that?
Yeah, well, Gio, I thought Gio did a really nice job. I mean, his walks to me were like just being careful in the right spots and pitching on the edges. He pitched beautifully. I thought he pitched the way he should pitch. A couple of our walks, the walks to Bader are the kind of the ones that stick out to me that are good with our right-handers that hurt us. But, Junior battled back and got a huge strikeout from Carpenter. So that one, I think kind of neutralizes, in my opinion. There's obviously nine's too many.
Craig, I don't know if it's too early for you to start thinking about standings and things like that, but you're at a point now where you haven't been further out than four games. Is this a kind of a critical point for you in terms of keeping close with these guys in this stretch against the Cardinals and Cubs?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I think of it in terms of standings. It's just that we've got to play better. We're not winning games at a good enough clip to you know, think about the playoffs right now. So, you know, that's what has to change. You know, what the standings look like, you know, we're still well within striking distance standings-wise. That's really not a concern with this many games left. But we got to play better. You know, we're three games above 500, I believe. That's not good enough. We got to, you know, figure out a way to win more baseball games. We got to play better. We got to do a lot of things better. You know, to expect to be a playoff team and to expect to be in this thing till the end and play some meaningful games. So, you know, standings wise, you know, for me, we're in good shape. You know, we're within striking distance. But I think we all need to increase our level of productivity here to get things moving in the right direction.
In every game, there's a moment when you say to yourself, "Are you kidding me?" Here's the Gene Wagner Plumbing "Are you kidding me?" moment of the game. Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
There go the runners. Garrett deals in a swing and a little lazy pop-up. Long run, and that is going to fall. And three runs are going to score, and Fowler goes to second base. Boy, what a disaster that was.
I'm not quite sure what Brawny was doing out there in left. I think he thought that somebody from the infield was going to get it. He kind of peeled off and ran by it.
I mean, to give up three runs on a hit like that.
Well, you think about the inning. Just
inning, and it didn't turn out well. And you could hear the call from Brian Anderson and Bill Schroeder there on Fox Sports Wisconsin. A tough play. Craig Counsell did downplay that a little bit, but I think there was some hidden meaning or something hidden in his response there. Interesting response out of Counsell. Agreed with most of what he just said. We'll unpack that in just a bit. Got a stat for you that raises my level of concern to maybe leaning toward panic level. We'll have that for you next, and still getting your reaction here. 414-799-1250, where your concern level is with 36 to play, now four games back. It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Tim and Tausch here on The Fan.
Pitching is nearly everything in baseball, but it doesn't always go as planned. Let's see who got lit up tonight. Sponsored by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com.
9-4 final. Brewers fall in game two of this three-game set. Things are getting to a little bit of critical mass here as they're four games back in the Central. 36 games remain. And you heard from Craig Counsell there talk about, you know, you got to play better baseball. Here's my level of concern. You know the offense has had some issues. I mean, we're all well aware of that, and we've talked about that. I think we came to the determination right around early July. I think that was a show we could probably go back into the archives and find a show in early July where I just, I acquiesced. I took a step back and said, the offense, there's not much you can do about it outside. Cross your fingers and hopefully they play better. There's really not much more you can do. And way many discussions were had about it. And so now my level of concern has flipped a little bit because I've dealt and coped with the offense being a little bit dysfunctional. And I don't mean that like I hate the guys, because you can henpeck out of this lineup some really good baseball players, really good baseball
sure
hitters.
Can.
It's just together they don't seem to function properly.
And
just together.
And I think one of the interesting aspects of it, Tim, are from the standpoint of, you came into the year thinking, well, you got the band back together. All these guys know how to play together. All these guys are ready to go. But Mike Moustakas had an almost career low in run production last year as a member of the Brewers. And it wasn't necessarily his best time as a big leaguer with the crew. And you saw a new catcher coming in. And there were a lot of moving parts. in aspects of the game that I think might have been a little bit overlooked by us on the field. We knew what they did on the coaching staff coming into the year, but there has been just some form of a systematic difference between these guys in that lineup card 1 through 8.
And I think it started with Shaw, Zeus, and Kane. And
that's where it began. Yep. Because looking at any one of those guys in the eye, and I'm talking about the decision makers, I'm talking about David Stearns, Matt Arnold, and Craig Counsell. You said, hey, man, Craig, let's wrap here, all right? Keston Hira going to start for you at all this year? What would he have said, Tim? Hopefully not.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Because if he's starting, that means something went horribly wrong. And same thing with Trent Grisham. Hey, David, let's sit down and have a cup of coffee here. Hey, Trent Grisham, what's the chance of him making it up into the big leagues this year? Good one. You think he would have thought that Trent Grisham to start the year would have been on the big league roster come August 1st? That would have been your key September or acquisition that you make at the trade deadline for the final 2 month stretch. 22-year-old that is making his major league debut. It's a different group and it's a different business model than they were able to go with the last couple of years. And a lot of it is because I think the situation they know they're in, also the opportunity that they have to get these guys valuable reps in the middle of a pennant race.
So that leads us to my I would definitely stress that it's just recently on who got lit up on the pitching staff, the pitching side of things, who got lit up with Heiser Automotive. It's your day at Heiser.com. In the last 4 games, the Brewers have given up 42 runs.
Oh, no.
42 runs in the last 4 games. That includes a 3-run game last night. 42. I mean,
with a 3-run shot right in there. I mean, like,
I love Jackie Robinson, but I'm not liking that number right now. That's 42 runs in 4 games, guys. That's not, and you could say that 2 of the starts were good. You could make that argument that you give up 42 runs, you're thinking, well, all your starters just had a bad time through, right? No, yesterday, Zach Davies, 5 innings, 2 runs. Tonight, Gio Gonzalez, 5 innings, and a run given up. That's very concerning to me. I'm starting to lean toward the pitchers now. They got to buckle down, too, and boy, I won't play the song yet, Slip Sliding Away, but maybe tune in tomorrow as we could be having
I'm in control, so I guess maybe we can fire it whenever we want.
An entirely different conversation, possibly, tomorrow night. Ryan Braun back in the lineup, and Ryan Braun on that play. I'm interested in hearing how he viewed it from his standpoint. Let's go inside the clubhouse and hear from Brawny.
I mean, it should have been my ball all the way. Either I dive and I catch it or I don't come up with it. Obviously, in hindsight, I didn't think that I was going to get there. I thought HB had a shot at it, so I tried to get out of his way. But, in hindsight, it's either my ball or nobody's ball. If I dive for it, maybe I catch it. But I think I had the best chance to catch that ball.
Doesn't it seem like when you play these guys, it's always a play like that kind of turns the tide of the game one way or the other?
I mean, we've had a lot of good games with them over the years. You know, there's always big plays in every close game. And, you know, these guys are obviously a good team. Can't make mistakes against good teams.
Well, I think Rene is too. They just see that they put the ball in play and sometimes it ends up in a weird spot.
Yeah, I mean, they had a lot of good at-bats. You know, they drew a lot of walks, I think, that were quality, at-bats. Really took some tough pitches, too. I think that's something they've always done well. In today's game with so many strikeouts, that if you do put the ball in play, good things do happen. And, you know, the more opportunities you have with guys on base, the more likely you are to come through at some point. So they've always done a good job with that.
I know, we're at the stage probably where every game is important, but does this start to feel like maybe you got to gain a foothold or you risk falling too far back?
Of course. I mean, it's been like that for a while. You know, I would argue once we kind of got to August, you know, once you get through the trade deadline, your team is your team, and the guys you have are the guys you have, and obviously we recognize the importance and significance of every game. And we just haven't put it together consistently enough to this point, but last year we entered September down 5.5 in our division and found a way to come back, so we have the ability to go through a stretch of playing really good baseball. We just haven't done it yet.
That's Ryan Braun, courtesy of Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Yeah, that's interesting. It is his ball, and he fessed up. And he was on it. And he's got
like
a charge.
That.
Yeah, I know. I do too. And you know, normally you don't hear that out of Ryan Braun, but I do think that there was no way out of this one. He knew.
Yeah, he had known that that was his ball. He knows that he had to make that play, and it was obviously obvious frustration you could tell on the face of Bronny, and I think a lot of it was, Tim, you're right, just realizing right off the bat, dude, that was mine. I had to make the play on that one.
Let's go to Oak Creek and bring in John. John, you're on the Fan. What's on your mind?
Hey, gentlemen. Yeah, I tell you what, you know, I don't think we have as good of a team, obviously, as we did last year. I mean, it comes down to pitching, and we don't have the pitching staff like we did a year ago. Like last year, we had, you know, Corey Knebel, which unfortunately he got injured, so we don't have his great pitching in the relief. And then the other thing is we don't have guys like Wade Miley or Joaquin Torre on our staff like we did a year ago. So it comes down to pitching, in my opinion. And it's hard to win games when the other team is scoring 9 runs and you're putting up 4 runs. I mean, your hitting is important, but you got to have your pitching to go with it. And, I mean, last year was our best opportunity to get to a World Series. We were only one game away from getting to a World Series. So, unfortunately, we fell one game short last year. But this year, doesn't feel like we're in a pennant race. Unless, you know, we get the same turnaround. But it doesn't feel like a pennant race to me right now.
And, well, hopefully they'll prove it to you here with a little bit of a run with 36 to play. John, thanks for the call. No, you're right on the pitching. It, as we just discussed, 42 runs in the last 4 games is not going to get it done. And I wonder, a little forward thinking, and we'll do that next. I wonder when Josh Hader will be used tomorrow. I got an idea on that. When would you unleash Josh Hader? What situation would it take
sure
for Josh Hader to get in that ball game tomorrow? The easy answer is safe situation.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Get a lead first. Let's figure out how you're going to get a lead. I love the idea. I want Josh to pitch in all these games. There's been no reason for him to because it has not looked like you're going to be able to tack on and win a baseball game because of your putting up runs at a consistent level.
Adam Wainwright's got a wicked curveball, and he's going to be on the hill for St. Louis Cardinals tomorrow.
Awesome.
Yeah, we'll check out that as we take a peek ahead. A little forward thinking next here on The Fan.
Right here on The Fan.
Which player is ready for the bigs? What will the next series bring for the crew? Time for some forward thinking, sponsored by Forward Financial Partners. Moving forward together. Find your way forward at ffpwi.com.
All right, final couple of minutes here as the Brewers lose game 2 of this 3-game set. Adam Wainwright, and if he's got the curveball working, look out. And just up on years. I think they get the win. I do. And they salvage it, pop back to 3 games back in the Central, and you just move forward with our friends at Forward Financial Partners.
You know, Tim, that's probably the best way to do it, and that would be the best strategy. I would say this for the Brewers. What you should try to do tomorrow is get on the board early, attack as much as possible, because like you said, if Wainwright gets that curveball going after the first couple of innings, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, you might be. Now, Josh Hader's usage here, I got to say I'd be awfully tempted if I had a 1 or 2 run lead in the 6th inning like tonight. I wonder, Billy, don't you wonder at what point Craig Counsell is going to go ahead and pull the trigger on something like that? Because it does come down to playing better baseball, and I agree with him, and that's what he said. But it also comes down to don't dig yourself too much of a hole until you play better baseball. So it's like take a chance here, and this might be the time to do it. I just wonder if with 1 out in the 6th or 5 2/3 and Hauser comes out of the ball game after 5 2/3 of a couple of run ball and you're up 4-2 and he leaves the game with 2 on and 1 out in that 6th inning. How tempted are you to go to Hader right there?
I think he's been tempted all year long, and right now you're right. It would be the biggest opportunity and the best chance for you to do it right now. In a sense where everybody in that clubhouse knows you need to win a game.
I would have gotten Albers out of the game just in case you needed him. Maybe it's an extended game tomorrow. Maybe it goes extras and you need a little something more out of Albers instead of having him fall on the sword there in that seventh inning. I mean, I didn't understand that either. That's maybe a correction that I ought to made as well with Milwaukee County House of Correction. All right, there'll be better days, I promise. Let's get an update on the Twitter poll that we threw out there. Level of concern for the crew, according to folks on Twitter.
Yeah, Tim, and the four options, as you stated, when you look at it, you have the option of panic, and it's straight panic, or the uh-oh, just understanding that you have a little bit of an opportunity. Where are you? Are you submitting your applications to the Dunn Club? And also, the final one, and one that I think a lot of people are going to laugh at. Hey, still in a pennant race. You're still playoff hopes alive. Come in with 43% of the just over 300 votes in the first hour up. 43% submitting Dunn Club applications, Tim. Quarter each of the 100% in panic and uh-oh mode. But the playoff hopes, with just about 9% of Brewers fans holding out hope.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's dire straits right now, Timmy. Just ask anybody. This team is done. They have no hope for next year. It's pretty much been lost in the sense of understanding they're not going to pay for pitching. So that's out of the door. You don't have to worry about that. It's a pretty exhilarating time to be a Brewer fan.
Yeah. So they've written off this year and 2020?
Basically, probably. Oh, yeah. Well, 2020 is lost because, you know, Corbin Burns stinks.
All right. Well, after tonight's show, I'll see you in 2021's opening day.
Enjoy the 2020 retrospective.
Yeah. It'll be nice and silent. 414-799-1250 if you want to talk to Sam Schmitz, because we're going to sign off. Sam Schmitz will take your calls. Right, Sammy? Samurai is
He's ready to rock and roll, ready to go.
Fair enough. He'll just talk on the phone with you guys all night. That's what Sam's going to do. All right, that's going to do it for us. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show. Get you ready for Game 3 of this three-game set presented by Allegra Allergy Relief. After the last pitch, you make the switch. We'll meet you right here in the post-game studios. Bayview Shade and Blind post-game show presented by...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.